For War News Radio at Swarthmore College, I'm John Gagnon.
And I'm Sarah Morrell. On Thursday, clashes erupted in East Jerusalem, and concerns of a new Palestinian uprising grew after the Israeli police killed Mu'taz Hijazi, a Palestinian man suspected of attempting to kill far-right Jewish activist Yehuda Glick hours earlier. A contested holy site in the Old City of Jerusalem, known as the Temple Mount to Jews and the Noble Sanctuary to Muslims, was at the center of this week's conflict. As a security precaution, the holy site was closed to visitors for the entire day, the first closure of the site in 14 years. A Palestinian spokesman denounced the decision as a declaration of war. The Jewish activist Glick has been pushing for increased Jewish access and rights at the contested holy site. Mickey Rosenfield, a spokesman for the Israeli police, announced that the site would be back to normal on Friday, but noted that men under the age of 50 would not be permitted to enter. Israeli and Palestinian analysts have both expressed concern about the potential firestorm that could emerge from allowing open Jewish prayer at the holy site.
A Syrian government helicopter dropped two barrel bombs on a camp for individuals displaced by fighting in northern Syria near the town of Al-Habit this week. Depending upon the source, the reported death tolls vary. According to Syrian activists, 40 people were killed, while the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights estimates the death toll at 10. Barrel bombs contain nails, metal shrapnel, and explosives. While UN Resolution 2139 banned the indiscriminate use of barrel bombs in populated areas, the Syrian regime has continued to use them. Since the beginning of the Syrian civil war in 2011, roughly 10 million individuals have been displaced.
Around 1,500 people stormed the parliament building in Ouagadougou, the capital of Burkina Faso, setting fire to the building, the city hall, and the ruling party headquarters. The protests arose in response to a proposed vote to lift a two-term limit on the presidency that would have allowed reigning president Blaise Compaoré to run for re-election next year. Compaoré took power by a coup in 1987 and has won four disputed elections since then. He has been in power for 27 years. Hundreds of thousands have taken to the streets across the country earlier this week in a show of civil disobedience, indicating a growing opposition to Compaoré's presidency. Elections are currently set for November of 2015.
This past Monday, a chapter of the Japan War Bereaved Families Association called to remove the names of convicted war criminals from the Yoshikuni Shrine in Tokyo. The shrine was created in 1869 to serve as a memorial to honor those who died fighting for Japan. Included in the shrine are the names of the convicted World War II war criminals, including General and Prime Minister Hideki Tojo, who ordered the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Although some Japanese nationalists argue that the shrine is equivalent to other war memorials around the world, the shrine has been a source of contention. The change proposed would decrease the political sensitivity of paying respect to those honored in the shrine.
On Wednesday, a mudslide triggered by heavy monsoon rains in eastern Sri Lanka buried alive approximately 100 people. Currently, 16 people are confirmed dead, but officials worry that this death toll will sharply rise to three figures. Around 500 troops were sent to help search for survivors on Wednesday. Five industrial excavators have also been sent to help find any survivors, providing assistance to the rescuers who have been using their bare hands to search. However, government officials have warned that the chance of finding any more survivors is low. Some houses have been buried in as much as 30 feet of mud, and an area of about 1 mile has been affected. The Disaster Management Center issued landslide warnings for a number of other areas in Sri Lanka, urging people to move to safer locations.
The World Health Organization updated its Ebola death toll, reducing the count by 300 in Liberia and increasing it by 200 in Sierra Leone. In the United States, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel issued a mandatory 21-day quarantine period for troops returning from Ebola-stricken areas. Some states have followed this trend, as New Jersey and New York implemented quarantine periods for returning volunteer medical workers, a decision that was met with controversy. The White House recommends that states lift this ban because these medical workers have the right training and background to monitor themselves.
Zambian President Michael Sata passed away this week after being treated for an unknown illness in London. His vice president, Guy Scott, has now taken office in his place, marking the first time a country in sub-Saharan Africa has had a white president since apartheid. Scott will serve as interim president until the country holds elections in 90 days. At this point, it is unclear whether Scott will seek election democratically or if he will step down as soon as the elections are over. It is yet to be determined whether or not Scott is even allowed to legally seek the presidency since his parents were not born in Zambia. A clause in the Zambian constitution requiring that the president be a third-generation Zambian could stop him from running for the office.
This week, in Tunisia's parliamentary elections, the main secularist party, the Nida Tunis Party, won a decisive victory against the once dominant Islamist, the Ennahda Party. According to official results, the Nidal Tunis Party, which ran on a clearly anti-Islamist platform, picked up 85 seats, roughly under 40% of the assembly, providing it the power to name a prime minister and lead a coalition government. The Ennahda Party, running on a moderate Islamist platform, won 69 seats. Following an overthrow of its dictator in 2011, Tunisia has faced economic turmoil and terrorist attacks. Analysts viewed the election results as a punishment on the Ennahda Party for poor economic performance and unfulfilled expectations of the revolution. The Nidal Tunis Party does not plan on forming a coalition with the Islamists, but instead looks to form a coalition of smaller parties to accumulate the 109 seats needed for a majority. Presidential elections are scheduled for November 23rd.
The Islamic State released 25 kidnapped Kurdish children from Minbij, a city in northern Syria, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. These children were the last of a group of 153 to remain in Islamic State captivity since being captured last May. The group was on their way back to the Syrian town of Kobani from an exam in Aleppo when they were kidnapped. The motivation behind this series of releases is unclear, but Kobani official Idris Nasan speculated that the actions may have been related to propaganda efforts. Yet even as these children were freed, Kobani itself still remains caught between the Islamic State and Kurdish forces.
If you want to hear more from War News Radio, visit us online at warnewsradio.org. This week's newscast was produced by Sabrina Merrill and written and edited by Mayank Agarwal, Anita Desai, Leo Elliott, Allison Raybar, Jerry Kinn, Amber Sheath, Lily Tyson, and Tyler Welsh. I'm John Gagnon.
And I'm Sarah Morrell. Thanks for listening.